So if you turn into your notes, this will be a marriage case study. And again, issues in marriage are some of the most common counseling cases that you're going to face. And so the presenting problem might be communication. Again, it could be sexual intimacy issues, in-law relationships, anger, bitterness, right? All sorts of issues that are coming for involving a marriage case study. And as biblical counselors, again, it's vital for us. We don't want to be problem-focused counselors, right? We want to be Christ-focused in our counseling. And the goal, again, of this marriage specialization is to equip and improve your counseling to those who are married. And case studies can be a helpful way to sort of flesh out, again, the key principles that this specialization is trying to provide and the objectives that you're learning in this track to see what does it practically look like in the counseling room. And so I want to really accomplish two things in this introduction, just to sort of explain my plans and goals for assembling this case study in the way that I did. I also want to play out the marriage case study data that I'll be working with you and hopeful little interaction as well as we just sort of apply the principles that you're learning in the marriage counseling cases together. And so again, some of the plans and goals, I really want to provide you just again with a sort of bread and butter marriage case study, a typical counseling case. Sometimes I believe it's most helpful for laying groundwork of principles, not in extreme situations, but just in sort of more run-of-the-mill, bread-and-butter type of ministry that you're going to have in your local church setting. And then to be able to specifically illustrate the importance of applying there's five foundations that you're learning through Track 7 in your marriage counseling. And so I'm just going to kind of review some of these foundations, and then we're going to try to sort of work through these foundations together with a marriage case as an example. So one of the foundations, again, that you should walk away from this specialization is clarity and being able to counsel regarding the nature and purpose of marriage. Counseling cases get stuck many times because both counselees are spinning their wheels in their relationship because in their heart they really do not want to believe and they do not want to follow God's nature and purpose for marriage. That really has not been embraced in their heart and life. And so you're trying to deal with communication, but they really haven't embraced their idea that their whole point of their marriage is to glorify God. Right? And so the whole point is a lot of times these other areas are missed because we haven't laid the groundwork as counselors for our counselees to make sure that they're understanding what is marriage about? What is the purpose of marriage? And what's their purpose as Christians? Often, again, they may believe the purpose of marriage, for example, is really about, again, comfort, having an enjoyable life, spending time together. They're going to define it in all sorts of ways. And so we can move too quickly to presenting problems without dealing with the issue about their firm beliefs and desires, again, to embrace God's purpose for marriage, of them being conformed to Christ, of them pleasing Christ, of them bringing glory to Christ. The other foundation is especially understanding and teaching the roles of husband and wife. Once couples are willing to trust and submit, of course, to God's plan and purposes for marriage, then the natural question is, how does this get fleshed out? Well, what does it mean to actually please Jesus as a husband? What does it mean to glorify Jesus, right, as a wife? And so then we have to be able to teach and explain and counsel according to what does these specifically look like played out in the roles as husband and wife. And here's an important piece to this. Each person in the marriage typically had a mom, a dad, a parental figure who raised them. And that has shaped their view and understanding of what does it mean to be a wife? What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be a dad? What does it mean to be a mom? And so these experiences might be positive and are in line with Scripture, but many of these can be very distorted. And so we're going to, as counselors, have to really help reshape, again, their understanding of what does God's Word say about what it means to be a godly husband and a godly wife. One of the other foundations that's a focus of this specialization is the importance of serving. The importance of serving your spouse, that has to be of huge emphasis in counseling. See, this principle is just foundational to discipleship. Right? When you think of Jesus' discipleship lessons over and over with his disciples, a huge part of it, right, is serving, right? Consider Jesus' example, right? A master, you're not greater than your master who came to serve and to give his life as a ransom, right? You're the last in the kingdom shall be first, those who are servants of all, right? So the point being is service is a key hallmark of what does it mean to be a disciple. And so part of marriage counseling has to involve helping them just be more faithful disciples and learning to serve in marriage. then communication is also an important foundational piece that the specialization is focusing on. And so when couples are not living out God's purpose for marriage, when they're neglecting their God-given roles, when they're not serving one another in love, sinful communication is another fruit that is produced. And so they see the problems, they see the sins many times of the other people, but they cannot seem to communicate in a way that's helpful and in a way that's leading to lasting change. And so again, communication is a symptom because they're not addressing the hearts and desires and goals in marriage. And many folks coming for marriage counseling will think communication is the root of their problems. It alone is the reason. Therefore, we must point them to God's ways. And then the final one is conflict resolution. So this is one of the other foundations that the Track 7 specialization for ACBC is really helping you to understand is how do you deal with conflict resolution and helping your counselees to be able to grow in handling conflicts in a way that is honoring to the Lord. And many times those coming for marriage, they want peace, they want unity, they want resolution, but we're going to have to help them understand how do we find this. Many times, again, their conflicts are starting first with their view of the Lord, their view of how they think about God, as well as then their spouse. But they want to believe many times the biggest problem is their spouse, right? And so over and over again, in conflict resolution, you're going to have to emphasize again their personal response and beliefs about God. And so these are sort of the five foundations that we're going to sort of be working through in this case study. And to sort of practically think about what does this look like. And so I'm going to give a little bit of a case study background. And again, as I'm changing the names just to make sure that people understand that these are not details about any one person. And so I'm not telling any one specific story. But let me give you just some background. And then we're going to think about how do we approach a counseling session with view of these sort of five foundations. Okay? So John and Julie, they wanted help. They describe that their marriage feels like it's hanging on by a thread. They're both professing Christians, but they say they hate their marriage. They feel more like roommates than a married couple. They say they got married young, right out of high school. They met in the youth group at their church, but they still have not had children because they want to have more stable jobs and were waiting for the right time. John did not feel that he was ready to be a dad. As their marriage relationship has deteriorated, they both said that they cannot imagine raising a family in this current environment in their marriage. Their first 2 years of marriage, they were stressful both financially and relationally. They fought and argued a lot over everything, they said, whether it was paying the bills, whether it was times of how much time they should spend with their friends, whether it was at times work commitments, and even intimacy. And their last few years have not been as bad since they have learned to sort of just not talk about things because when they do, it just seems to make matters worse. John says, I just usually go away in the part of the house and just ignore the conversation when it gets too heated. Julie says, I like to sulk and I'm not very responsive just because I'm tired of saying the same things over and over and over and nothing seems to change. John and Julie both recalled how they have drifted from each other from the times that they were in love with one another when they were dating in high school, how they didn't have all those pressures and fights like they do now. They believe their marriage has been on a constant decline since they got married. When asked about their relationship with God these last few years, they said they go together to church like 1 to 2 times per month, but they find it hard to pray and read the Bible because of their work demands and the challenges in their marriage. And so, again, this is just some of the introductory data that will sort of inform our counseling approach. And so as we think about counseling with approach, with the information that you have provided, how am I going to build loving involvement? How am I going to gather data and other information? Again, it's important to remind your counselees of your expectations of each session, even in a marriage case. Marriages, again, have often gotten to this place because they've been doing what's right in their own eyes. And you are there as a biblical counselor to help them to hear and listen to God's counsel and authority. And so set the expectations of God's word is primary. And so again, first I have a counselee, usually we'll turn to Proverbs 18:13 when talking about expectations. And I share and I especially commit certain things and responsibilities as a counselor. One, I tell them, I will listen before I counsel you from God's word. I commit to say that to them. I will promise to you, I will listen before I counsel you from God's word. And if at any point you think I did not first listen before I spoke, I will ask for your forgiveness if that in fact did happen. I commit that I'll pray for you. I commit I will teach you from God's word what it says. I will teach you how to apply it in your life, but it will be your responsibility to do it. And then I will tell them, I will not work harder than you on your marriage. And so then I explain them what I expect of them as counselors.